Welcome to Glory Light Chapel, the radio ministry of Glory Light Live. I would like to welcome everyone sitting in this room, and also those of you who may be tuned in through internet radio from wherever you may be sitting on the face of this planet. It is our privilege that you are here, and it is our prayer that you will receive a blessing from our message today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you today. We pray that you will send your angels to worship with us and to drive away the evil one. We pray that you will send your Holy Spirit to prepare us to receive the blessings you have made ready for us and to guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. We are going to look at the consecrated way to Christian perfection. And if you have any questions about whether that is attainable, just ask God and He'll give you the answer. But we're going to look at that right now. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "For the law, that is the Levitical law, having only a shadow of good things to come, and not even the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers therefore unto perfect." Thereunto perfect. Let me read that again. "For the law," that is the Levitical law, "having a shadow," only a shadow if you will, "of good things to come, And not even the very image of the things can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect." So the animals couldn't do it. Not even the very image of the things that are there. Verse 2, "For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins, but in those sacrifices there is a remembering again made of sins every year." This would be the Day of Atonement that he's talking about, when the sins are brought up every year and the sanctuary is cleansed. Verse 4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me." So this is Jesus talking about when he came to this earth as a baby and had a body prepared for him. He's talking about that. Now let's see what this body that was prepared for Christ, let's see what it is. Let's see all about it. This is actually a quote from Psalm 40 as stated in the Septuagint. So let's turn to Psalm 40 in our Bibles. Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. Psalm chapter 40, beginning with verse 6. This is talking about Christ becoming a slave forever, taking upon him humanity for all eternity. Verse 6 says, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened." Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Let me read that again. "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Well, in Hebrews 24, Hebrews 10 says, Hebrews 10 verse 5 talks about the body. Here it's talking about the ears. And Hebrews, the word regarding that, to dig, if you will, he has opened. The word that word means to dig, as if to open. And so when we're talking about the ears, Hebrews 10, Hebrews, the word here that means ears, and Hebrews 10 verse 5 says, body hast thou opened. So we have this idea of the ears and the body. So we're talking about the ears here, actually. And then it says to open means to dig as opened, as if to open. And in Hebrews 10 verse 5 says prepared. So he was prepared by having his ears dug, if you will. And then it says, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. And verse 7 of Hebrews 40 says, then I said, lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Okay. Now this is referring back to Exodus chapter 21, verses 1 to 6. So let's turn there. Exodus chapter 21 and verse 6, talking about ears being dug as if to be opened. Let's find out what this is all about. Jesus' body was prepared by having his ears dug open. Exodus chapter 21, verse 1. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she hath borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. Verse 5. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then the master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Wow. So Jesus Christ had his ear bored open as with an awl. Jesus Christ willingly became a slave forever, having taken upon him fallen sinful human flesh, becoming a human being for all eternity, as the Septuagint seems to indicate. So when it talks about Christ's body being prepared, it was dug through. His ear was dug through with an awl. Not literally, this is all figurative. But the point is this, that Christ became a human being for all eternity, one of us, never to be the same again. Now, back to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Well, if you have your book, give us this day our daily good news. You can refer to that. We're going to read numbers 70 to 72. That will be volume 1, give us this day our daily good news, 70 through 72. And you usually have readings this long, but I'm going to do this today. This is passages by E.J. Wagner and A.T. Jones. Give us this day our daily good news, volume 1, number 70. The Lord Jesus entered upon the open field in contest with Satan in human flesh at the point in degeneracy when he was born into the world. Human nature will never be any weaker, never reach any lower in itself than when Jesus Christ came into the world. The only means by which man will be worse is that the same iniquity will be professing Christianity. And that makes him worse in this respect, in that he has cut himself off from salvation by taking his iniquities. In himself, in the flesh, his own practical wickedness is not any greater, only now he is a hypocrite as well as wicked. The world in the last days will not be any worse in itself than it was when Christ was born into the world. The only way in which it will be worse is that in having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. It uses the profession of Christianity to cover its ungodliness, so it perverts God's only means of salvation so as to destroy itself against all remedy. Read the last verses of the first chapter of Romans, and that would be Romans 1, 18 to 32. Read the last verses of the first chapter of Romans if you wish to have a picture of the world in the last days. The one who believes in a millennium of peace and righteousness before the coming of the Lord will doubtless be shocked, but he needs to be. The seed which produces such a crop is already sown broadcast. That man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, is the strongest force in Christendom, and its power is daily increasing by the blind acceptance of its principles by professed Protestants. The majority of Protestants follow in its train, accepting the symbol of justification by works instead of by faith. That was E.J. Wagner. Now A.T. Jones, number 71. Ever since Satan obtained control of this world and God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, God has been calling people from the ranks of Satan unto himself, into his dominion, and many have been coming all the time. But Satan had been making the charge that was not fair, arguing, these are my rightful conquest, and you are leading them off to you. What have you done that by right you can do when I gained it here? Thus he was always accusing those before God day and night, whom God called out of this world unto himself. Satan declared, these are my property, my rightful subjects. They are laden with sin and altogether wicked. Yet you call them out and justify them and propose to hold them before the universe as though they had been good all the time. That is not fair. They are sinners. They are wicked. They are just like all the rest of us over here. And without God, that would be true. Going on, he says, this accuser comes as a prosecuting attorney into a court. He would prosecute all these, his subjects, as slaveholders used to do under the fugitive slave law in the United States, and demand that they should be given up once more to his authority. And there was room for him to present that argument with an apparent shadow of right, because the contest had not been carried on. The battle had not been fought, and the victory won so completely that his argument as a prosecuting attorney should be annihilated. That hadn't happened yet. Now Jesus came into the world to demonstrate that he had the right to do all this and that it was fair. At the point of weakness, he entered upon the contest with Satan to recover by right the headship of this lost dominion. The promise and the victory had to be tested in an open conflict in the flesh. Number 72. When Christ came in the flesh, was there as much temptation for him to meet, and was it as real a temptation as though no promise had ever been made of redemption? Assuredly. If not, then he was guarded against temptation, and the conflict was not real but imaginary. He came into the world to demonstrate the unrighteousness of that argument that Satan was presenting in the courts of God as the prosecuting attorney. It is legal all the way through, and he conquered and became by right the head of this dominion again, and of all who will be redeemed from it. That word in the Greek which says that the accuser of our brethren is cast down conveys the idea of a prosecuting attorney who comes into court but has no case anymore. No place for argument. Now we have an advocate in the court, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, heaven will never, excuse me, the Lord Jesus in heaven will never be in all respects as he was before. He who was in the form of God took the form of man. Thus he will bear our human form from before the Father's throne through eternal ages. He says, the glory which you gave me I have given them, John 17:22. Instead of Christ being lowered, we are exalted. Instead of divinities being lessened, humanity is exalted. Instead of bringing him down to all eternity to where we are, he lifts us to all eternity to where he is. Instead of robbing him of his glory and putting him where we are to have none, he laid aside this glory for a season and became ourselves, took our form forever in order that this form shall be exalted to the glory which he had before the world was. In what form was the contest carried on with Satan? In our human form. In my nature, in your nature. Wow. That was also A.T. Jones. Okay, go back to our Bibles, Hebrews 10, verse 8. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not. That's talking about the ceremonial law. But neither hadst pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come, that is to the earth, to do thy will, O God. That is referring to the moral law. So he said, I come to the earth to do thy will regarding the moral law. Remember, this is what Psalm 40, verse 8 said he would do. He taketh away first the ceremonial law, that he may establish the second, the moral law, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And of course, talking about the will, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, it says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. So the will is for us to be set apart for God's use. And then it says, by the which the will we are sanctified, then that is a godly life set apart for God's use through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And Hebrews 1, verse 3 says this, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged, past tense, purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So he took away our sin in his life that he lived and in a death that he died. Jesus Christ did take away sin. Not just the ceremonial law. Now verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down, that is a formal seating, if you will, sat down on the right hand of God. Verse 13. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are being sanctified. And the word being there is in the Greek. So we are being sanctified by Christ sitting on the right hand of the Father in heaven in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. Now this is not the same as verse 10. In verse 10 we are sanctified corporately, the whole human race, once in Christ through his death. In this verse, we are constantly being used by God in our daily lives. His one death has set us aside for his use, and now we are being used by him daily. So we need to understand the difference in there. Now, from Give Us This Day Our Daily Good News, number 113, this is volume 2 now. Number 113, Give Us This Day Our Daily Good News. And this is a passage by A.T. Jones. He says this, the great thought and purpose of the true sanctuary, its priesthood and ministry, is that God will dwell in the hearts of the people. What now is the great thought and purpose of his dwelling in the hearts of the people? The answer is perfection. The moral and spiritual perfection of the worshiper. Therefore, since A, the will of God is the sanctification and perfection of the worshipers, and B, since the will of God is that his worshipers shall be so cleansed that they shall have no more conscience of sin, and C, since the service and the offerings in the earthly sanctuary could not do this, he took it all away that he may establish the will of God. By that we shall be have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hebrews 10, verse 10. The will of God is even your sanctification. Sanctification is the true keeping of all the commandments of God. This is to say that the will of God concerning us is that his will shall be perfectly fulfilled in us. Well, if sanctification is being set apart for God's use, is God going to be the minister of sin? Absolutely not. He will minister righteousness unto us, and that's why we can talk about perfection here. Going on, it says, the sacrifices and services in the earthly sanctuary could not take away the sins of the people, and so could not bring them to this perfection. But the sacrifice and ministry of the true high priest in the heavenly sanctuary do accomplish this. This does utterly take away every sin, and the worshiper is so truly purged that he has no more conscience of sins, or consciousness, if you will. He's not sinning because God is living in him and doing his work in him, and God does not sin. He didn't sin in the fallen sinful flesh that he took, and dwelling in you and me, he will not sin there either. And so we can be free from sin in our experience. Going on, it says, by the sacrifice, the offering, and the service of himself, Christ took away the earthly sacrifices and the offerings and the earthly service, which could never take away sins. By his perfect doing of the perfect will of God, he established the will of God. So Jesus lived a perfect life in our flesh, giving us his perfect life as our inheritance, if you will. Verse 15, Hebrews 10, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant, that is the new covenant, this is the new covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And this is a quote from Jeremiah 31, verse 33. So he's quoting Jeremiah here. Let me read verse 16 again. This is the new covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and their minds, and I will write them. Verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where the remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. In other words, Jesus had to die only one time. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, and so we have confidence that we can enter into the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary with Christ. In fact, we are there with him as our representative. Now, in the original refers to both the apartments, so this would be also the whole sanctuary in heaven, not just the most holy place. So let's read that verse with that in mind. The whole apartment of the sanctuary, having therefore brethren to boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And now in verse 20 it says, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. By a new and living way which he has consecrated. The Greek word there means to innovate, to renew, to do anew, again, to initiate, to consecrate, as to dedicate, or inaugurated. So Christ has inaugurated a way for us. and through the veil, that is, into the most holy place, that is to say, his flesh. So Jesus, by taking upon himself fallen, sinful human flesh, and dying in that fallen, sinful human flesh, taking our sin with him, having purged our sin, we now dwell with him in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary through Jesus as our representative. And he is work that he is doing, taking away sin, and that in the heavenly sanctuary is for us also, whom he represents. And he is taking away our sin, if indeed we will elect Jesus to be our representative, allow him to represent us in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. Verse 21, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled, that is, with Christ's blood, from an evil conscience, that is, our sins having been removed, and our bodies washed with pure water. The priests were washed each time they entered the sanctuary. So let me read that again. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, that is our hope, without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Jesus gave his promise. That promise is based on his eternal life that he gave up on the cross, giving up hope for his eternal life, his very existence, that we might have that eternal life. And he is faithful that made that promise. Well, again, from Give Us This Day Our Daily Good News, Volume 2, this time number 115. And this is a passage by A.T. Jones. And he says this: perfection in every respect is attained through the service of our great high priest in the heavenly sanctuary. This is the new and living way which Christ consecrated for us, for all mankind above all. This new and living way he consecrated for us through his flesh, coming in the flesh, identifying himself with mankind in the flesh. He has consecrated a way from which we are to where he now is. Let me read that again. He has consecrated a way from where we are to where he now is, at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, having been made in all things like unto us, and having been tempted in all points like as we are, Hebrews 2:14. And 4 verse 15, he has identified himself with every human soul just where that soul is, and from the place where every human soul is, he has consecrated for that soul a new and living way through all the vicissitudes and the experiences of a whole lifetime, and even through death and the tomb, into the holiest of all at the right hand of God forevermore. Let's let that sink in for a minute. What Jesus has done. Let me read it again. And from that place where every human soul is, he has consecrated for that soul a new and living way through all the vicissitudes and the experiences of a whole lifetime, and even through death and the tomb into the holiest of all at the right hand of God forevermore. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Hebrews 2:11. Oh, that consecrated way, consecrated by his temptations and his sufferings, by his prayers and tears, by his holy living and sacrificial dying, by his triumphant resurrection and glorious ascension, and by his triumphal entry into the holiest of all at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. And not only is it talking about the whole sanctuary, but Jesus now is ministering in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. And there we are. I'd like to close with Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Let's just take a look there. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship," that is, Christ is working on us, "created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained," or prepared in advance, "that we should walk in them." We don't have to manufacture good works. We don't even have to try as hard as we can. We just simply need to let go and say, "God, take me now. Use me. Dwell in me. Do your work in me. Amen. Let it be as thou hast said." As far as practical, let's stand for the benediction. Our benediction is taken from Romans chapter 8. "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen." God bless everyone, and have a good rest of the Sabbath.